Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Forgotten Conservative. It's been a long absence, I know, but here we are again, live and in color down on the farm. As you can hear, one of my favorite quote-unquote fight songs, When Johnny Comes Marching Home, from this particular version. It's from the Die Hard 3 movie, Die Hard with a Vengeance. And really and truly, that's about where we're at in this country. I wanted to go ahead and come to you guys, especially this weekend. It is May 22nd, 2023, nearly 1 a.m., and I wanted to go over the upcoming election season. For those of you who have listened, I've said repeatedly I did not want Trump to get into the race, and I've pretty much listed the reasons, and I'll kind of go through that again tonight. Primarily, I'm going to focus on Biden and Trump. Part do. What was that from? Is that from the Naked Gun series? Or maybe that was Hot Shots, the part do. Nevertheless, there's some minor players in both parties. The upper tier of the second class nominees. Or hopefuls. For the Democrats, you have Robert F. Kennedy Jr., son of Robert Kennedy, the Attorney General for John Kennedy, who in 68 planned to run for president. In fact, it's rumored, it was rumored that that's one of the main reasons why Lyndon Baines Johnson decided not to run for re-election in 68, even though he was eligible to do so, was because of he feared that running for re-election, if Robert Kennedy ran, it wouldn't look very good for an incumbent president to lose the nomination within his own party. I don't know, that was 68, just happens to be the year I was born. And I don't do a whole lot of research into Democrat circles. However, I will say this, as far as the Democrat convention in 68, there were seven maybe or nine people who, there was a, riots. Democrats, liberal college kids, were rioting. It was a summer of riots, but primarily at the Democrat National Convention, which I believe was in Chicago that year, ironically, since Chicago was the place that gave John Kennedy the election. I've mentioned it before, but if you're unaware, on election night, Kennedy's father, who was just a thug, criminal. He was so bad of a person that FDR, the liberal, one of the most liberal progressive presidents in history, had to recall the senior, Joe Kennedy, I believe was his name, had to recall him because he was sympathetic to Adolf Hitler. And despite being the leftist and the liberal, and some would say anti-Semite FDR, it still wasn't a good look. He had to recall Kennedy back to the United States from his ambassadorship overseas. But nevertheless, for the 60 election for his son against Richard Nixon, Kennedy was able to get enough votes in Chicago, and also, for whatever reason, West Virginia. But Chicago is with Tom, I forget the mayor's name, Tim Daly, the senior. Tim Daly had a son, Tim Daly Jr., who also became mayor of Chicago, and arguably just as corrupt. Nevertheless, so that's who Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is. I've heard him speak before, working the schedule I do. I've heard him on Coast to Coast AM at nighttime. He can be pretty whacked out on conspiracy theories. Certainly, it's understandable as far as his uncle and his father's assassinations. I got that. I think RFK signed a petition or wrote a letter to the California Board of Parole to parole Sirhan Sirhan, I believe is the guy's name that assassinated his father. Many believe he was a patsy, just as Oswald claimed that he was a patsy for the JFK assassination. I'm not diving into those, either one of those stories, other than to say that Oswald claimed to be a patsy, but RFK Jr. believes that Sirhan Sirhan was indeed a patsy. So he's had, he's gained some traction here recently. When the Democrat Party, the Democrat National Committee, saw this beginning to happen, they quickly said there will be no Democrat debates. And that was even before Joe Biden officially announced that he was running for re-election. So just imagine that. You've got an incumbent president that's horrible, that's way worse than Jimmy Carter. And Jimmy Carter was the worst president, at least in the 20th century. And probably, ironically, top three, maybe top five, if you want to give him some benefit of a doubt, of worst presidents of all time. Certainly top five, arguably top three. And Joe Biden's even worse. And yet the Democrat Party has said, no mas, no debates, no nothing. Now, I think there's some things behind that, but they're hoping that that tampers down any support, certainly any traction that RFK Jr. had started gaining. And there are Republicans that have heard some of his campaign speeches thus far that hey, this guy, he's not a wacko like, from Obama forward. He's got some good stuff, and he does. I'll admit, but he's not running in the Democrat Party by accident. He is a Democrat. Okay. I've said over and over, JFK, who the left praises, idolizes, worships, could not run in today's Democrat Party. JFK, if he still held those same values, assuming he was alive, of course, he would be in the Republican Party. Now, he may be a rhino, but more than likely, he would be a Republican. No way he would join the Republican Party. He would remain a Democrat, but he just wouldn't have been as successful as he was back then. And that's how they are. That's how Democrats, they put the party and the ideology ahead of the country, ahead of everything. That's, for the most part, in a lot of circumstances, not with Joe Blow the plumber, or the electrician that's in a union, not those blue-collar Democrats. I'm not speaking of those people. I'm speaking of the elites at the top of the, that run certainly state and federal Democrat organizations. So he is the most prominent. I think there's a female on the Democrat side that's entered the race, but primarily you've got Biden and at this point RFK Jr. For the record, I will say, I predicted during the debates early on that I believed Kamala Harris would be Joe Biden's pick for vice president. My nephew Devin was there. I was at my parents' house, and I didn't think it was that hard to tell, to see, but she had dropped out of the race. I think she had maybe less than 2% after one or two primaries. I mean, she's a horrible, horrible politician, but she was the type that Joe Biden was looking for, even though he hadn't announced what he was looking for in a VP. I knew she was the type. Now, that's no big deal, but I'm using that same rationale to say right now, I don't anticipate Joe Biden being the Democrat nominee for president on the ballot 2024. Whether he stumbles, politically, metaphorically speaking, we all know and have seen him stumble up stairs. I thought my first wife was the only one that ever fell upstairs, but no, Joe Biden has her beat, because I think she only did it once or twice. You know, Joe Biden kind of makes, he's like one of the Three Stooges, or Chevy Chase, or John Belushi, Chris Farley, these guys that get into what's called physical comedy. That's who Joe Biden is. You know, he stumbles. He just went to Japan. He's on the way back. It was a G7 summit. So you got seven world leaders up on the stage. Joe Biden's pretty much in the middle. And, you know, it's like in Stripes when Sergeant Hulka says, right face. And, you know, half the platoon turns right and half the platoon turns left. You know, and the old saying is the other right. So the other six world leaders all turn to their right. And Joe Biden, of course, turns to the left and then kind of puts up his hands around his waist like, okay, which way did he go? Which way do I turn? And so he was quickly redirected. But that's a common thing with Biden. So I don't know if, you know, it's going to be the non compos mentis factor. You know, basically he's losing his marbles. Which I've always said he lost his marbles before he lost his marbles, if he ever had any. People at that level, if you have what you purport to have, in other words, if you're the thinker, you know, the policy genius, the political, philosophical genius that you project, if you're that person, you don't plagiarize your way in law school. You don't, in the 88 election, plagiarize this, he was something in Europe. Joe Biden basically almost stole the guy's entire speech. And it ended up knocking him out of the 88 presidential race. But if you are who you claim to be, you don't do shit like that. So that's why I say, Biden, if he ever had marbles, he lost them before he lost them, if that makes sense. So whether it's his lack of mental acuity that starts the beginning of the end I don't think that, because if the Democrats go that route, then it means that they, let's put it this way. If a prosecutor is deemed to be corrupt, let's say he was taking bribes or offering a judge bribes, but he was a crooked prosecuting attorney for your local city or district or whatever. If it's found out and that guy is investigated, so on and so forth, then everybody that he's found guilty and put in jail can reopen their case. So if you follow that logic, if the Democrats throw Biden under the bus because he's non-compos mentis, then then the policy, the executive orders, all that stuff comes into question. So I really don't expect them to go that route. I would more than likely say that it will be the legal aspect, whether it's Hunter Biden or his own document mishandling, which is far, far in a way more egregious than Trump's. I mean, Trump's doesn't hold a candle to Biden. Primarily, Trump was president. He has the right to classify, declassify, all that stuff. The Constitution talks about Article 1 is Congress. Article 2 is the judiciary, I believe. And Article 3 is the executive. So he is the executive. The president is the executive. As a point of reference, the FBI, okay, the Constitution doesn't mention them, okay, because that's an executive function. So the president could literally tomorrow, Biden could say, I want to disband the FBI. Now, he would face legal challenge, you know, all this, but the executive has that right. Biden was the vice president, which has zero of those executive privileges. The only privileges he may have is anything that Obama, the executive, may have bestowed upon him. But that certainly would have expired at the moment Trump was inaugurated. Probably before, but at worst case scenario. So any documents that Biden had during those 8 years, they should have been submitted during the transition phase from the election in November until the inauguration in January. But it doesn't stop there, because not only did Biden have classified information from his VP days, he had classified info from his days as a senator, which go back before 08, which basically he willfully made a conscious effort to, in essence, steal classified documents. Because as a senator, when you view these documents, you go into a secure type of, it's a SCIF is what they call it, but it's a secure place where you view these classified documents. I think it was Sandy Berger who, just after the Clinton presidency, it was either at the end of the Clinton year, 2000, or the very beginning of the Bush era. But he goes into one of these SCIFs and tries to stuff documents down in his socks and got caught. Basically, he got a slap on the wrist. But the point to that story is that you have to go into, and you know, to pull something out, you are breaking the law. So it's not by accident. if Joe Biden is not on the ballot, I would think either that or at some point the Democrat Party sees that he has no chance and they pull the plug. They just take him out back, stand him up, put six gunmen out there, one with a blank, put, you know, the firing line, but they just take his old dotard ass out there, out back to the woodshed, and then just kill his ass, metaphorically speaking. Because they're in, the worst thing is to lose the election. Okay, that's what they're facing. Could it be Jill Biden, the quote unquote Dr. Jill Biden? No, I don't. I can't see her doing it. She's a sick of effing witch as John Fetterman's wife. So I don't see Jill Biden, the first lady, pulling him back. Unless, again, unless he starts rapidly deteriorating. And even at that, it would be, I think she would rather see him lose than to pull him out and say he's, you know, he's got toys in his attic. More than likely for you millennials, you probably never have heard that expression. Toys in the attic basically meaning you're crazy. Oh, he's got toys in his attic. You know, whether that's showing my age or my propensity for old-fashioned colloquialisms, I'll let you, the listener, be the judge. So we're getting towards the end of the Democrat side. We got a few more minutes. What do I think will happen if Joe Biden is not on the ticket? My biggest fear, which was, I didn't really think in 2020, I had said it out loud as a possibility, but I really didn't think about it in 2020. But I think it's a much greater potential in 2024. And my biggest fear is that Michelle Obama becomes the Democrat nominee. Everybody, they say that, you know, she'd have to throw away her next Netflix deal, you know, which I think is maybe $10 million a year or something like that. It's outrageous. But all that stuff would have to stop. Just like Trump stopped with The Apprentice. What was that the name of it? The Apprentice? Whatever his TV show was. And turned over, relinquished control, I guess, operational control of his businesses and moved that to wherever he moved it. So that, those people, they say, those types of people say the lifestyle and the notoriety and all that good stuff is too lucrative, too seductive for Michelle Obama to take a tremendous pay cut to go back to politics. I think it's horse pucky because I really think the Obama and that team want to, as Obama said in 08, fundamentally transform America. I think the Obamas, especially Barack, I think he is a pissed off MF-er that Joe Biden is going to achieve more of that goal as a bumbling, stumbling stooge in 4 years that he was able to accomplish in eight. And I really think it pisses Barack Obama off. Nevertheless, that is my worst fear, is that they go through this primary season with Obama, I'm sorry, with Biden, you know, in the lead, and then at some point something happens and they need an emergency type candidate, and in to save the day is Michelle Obama. A curious move that reinforced that thought for me was Susan Rice resigned from the Biden administration. She was the chief domestic policy advisor. So all the domestic policy went through Susan Rice. Who's Susan Rice? Susan Rice is a woman that went on every freaking, Sunday talk show she could after Benghazi. And she went and she lied to every single show that she appeared on and said this was spontaneous, this was not terrorism, that this was in retaliation from some YouTube video that some piece of POS loser posted about, I don't even remember what it was, but it was obviously bullshit. But she went on CBS, NBC, ABC, CNN, MSNBC, NPR, every left-wing broadcast cable show that would have her, and said this was not terrorism. This was simply a reaction to a video, an anti-Islamic video. And they knew it was horse pucky. Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State. The ambassador, Christopher Stevens, maybe, had written to the Secretary of State Clinton and to the State Department repeatedly about terrorist threats, hostile environment, send help, extraction, etc. And all those fell on deaf ears. And Hillary Clinton's famous question under quote-unquote cross-examination from the House and the wannabe Trey Gowdy, who basically had her sitting up on a tee, you know, a little league tee, ready to knock her out of the ballpark. Hillary Clinton says, "What does it matter?" I'm paraphrasing from memory. "What does it matter? They're all dead." You know, and just showed how the left and those at that level of elitism think about human life. Because if Democrat, the blue collar, the ones I mentioned earlier, the electrician, the plumber, you know, those guys, if they could only begin to conceive that the Democrat Party truly does not care about them, nor do they care. If all you need to know, okay, is the abortion issue. I can understand people that say, okay, after 2 months, no abortion. But up till then, you know, a woman should be able to choose. I disagree, but I can understand and I can debate with that person. Okay? But that's not what the Democrats want. Remember what I said in a way earlier podcast last summer. 49 Democrats voted on their quote-unquote Roe v. Wade bill, which Roe v. Wade, in essence, said the first trimester, states can't regulate. States cannot touch the first trimester. the second trimester, states have limited sanctions. So they could say, no abortions after 4 months, for an example. But the third trimester, Roe versus Wade said, is untouchable. No abortions after the third trimester begins. So when the Democrats last summer said we're going to codify Roe v. Wade, that's not what they voted on. They voted on the bill to have on-demand abortion up to and including after birth. Remember, it was the Virginia governor, Ray, what's his friggin' name? I forget his name, but that went on a local radio show after he had signed the bill. He got a standing ovation in the House and the Senate, whatever room he signed the bill in. Standing friggin' ovation. And he said on the radio that if the baby is born, if the abortion is botched and the baby is born, then we'll just put him aside in a room and until the mama makes the decision of whether or not she wants to keep it. But she'll have a consult with the doctor and they'll make the best decision. But in the meantime, we're not going to cover him with a blanket. We're not going to clean his airways. We're not going to do anything to assist that baby in the normal delivery process. We're just going to put him in the broom closet until mommy makes her decision. And that's how the Democrats view human life. That's how they view their own constituency. That's why it's so easy for them to call us names. Deplorables, the great unwashed, so on and so forth. So in conclusion, for the Democrat nominee, Biden becoming the nominee, if I were a betting man, I would say, I would bet 5-3 odds. In other words, you got to bet $5 to win $3. I don't know if that's the right measure. Okay, let me rephrase that. Let's say, in a simpler way, a percentage. I would say there's probably a 60 to 70% chance that Biden is not the nominee. That's how high I think it is that there will be another Democrat on the ticket in a year and a half from now. Okay? Whether it's Michelle Obama, whether it's Pete Booty Gigger or Kamala Harris, the worst, dumbest vice president in U.S. history, or somebody else. I do not think it'll be Biden. 60 to 70% chance it will not be Biden. That's how I view it. Now on to the Republican side. So I titled this Biden v. Trump, Trump v. Biden, part two. So on the Republican side, Trump basically threw his hat in the ring soon after, maybe 2 weeks after the midterm elections last year. So he's been in the race, close to 7 months now. The top or the best of the second tier, RFK Jr.'s equivalent, is a fellow by the name of Vivek Ramaswamy, I believe is how it's pronounced. And I've heard the guy 2 or 3 different times in long form interviews. I've seen him on stage. I think it may have been a YouTube video. But the guy is good. He's a self-made man, private sector, in the vein of a Trump. Certainly not as wealthy as Trump, that I don't believe. But if I had to write a quick blurb about Vivek Ramaswamy, I would say he's a common sense conservative. I don't have any illusions or hesitations about his conservatism. I haven't researched him enough on individual policies or principles, so to speak, but just from the what I've heard in his interviews, and I think it was one video I saw, he's got political talent, and there's no doubt he loves his country, and there's no doubt that he is he wants to make a difference. He wants this country to be better for his kids and his grandkids than the country that he inherited, which nowadays is a foreign concept. But when we all grew up, it was unheard of. Other than, let me rephrase that, check that, take that back. When we were growing up, that was the status quo. When I say unheard of, that was in the context of, it's not something that you necessarily saw in a political campaign or a stump speech, but that was said in the household. I can't tell you the number of people over the years, from the time I was a kid up to now, but people talk about their father, their mother, their grandfather, grandmother, preacher, saying along these lines, I want you to have it better than I had it. You may disagree. You may not like me. You may hate me. You may not understand why I do what I do. But please believe me, my goal is to give you a better opportunity than the opportunity I had. And that's just the way it was. That was everybody. I mean, is that uniquely American? I don't think so. I think it's part of the human existence. But my belief system in that regard is starting to erode as far as inherent in the human existence, because there's a whole class of people who obviously either A, don't feel that way, or B, think they have a better way to provide that opportunity in mass, E-N-M-A-S-S-E. So, getting down and dirty with Donald Trump. I've said all along, I hope he doesn't run. I don't want him to run. And now he's running. So now I gotta effing deal with it, okay? But I'll say this, two things right off the bat. Number one, I do not think that Trump will end up being the nominee, okay? Three things, okay? Number one, I do not think Trump will end up being the nominee, just as I don't think Biden will be. Number two, if Trump is the nominee, we lose. I believe that in all my heart. You will not convince me otherwise. Presidential politics are so narrow nowadays. Okay, it's for a Republican to get elected, it's like all the stars, the moon, the planets all have to be aligned just so for any Republican. Now, I don't believe that has to be the case, but certainly since Reagan, that has been the case. I don't recall George H.W. Bush's margin of victory, I do know that H.W. was the last Republican president to win the state of California. After that, it was gone. But I just don't recall his popular vote percentage, nor do I recall his electoral college total. But you take H.W., G.W., and then you've got the failures in between. So that would be H.W. in 92, Bob Dole in 96, McCain in 08, Romney in 2012. Clinton did not get 50% of the vote in either election, 92 or 96. I think Obama may have crossed the 50% threshold, but I know in 2012, Obama received about 3 million fewer votes than he did in 2008, which when Trump said Romney was a bad candidate, if that's in part what he's talking about, because Obama lost 3 million votes and Romney still couldn't win. That's the genesis of Trump's line of thinking. Trump's victory was no short of a miracle in 2016. His defeat in 2020, there were shenanigans, primarily by legislatures, attorneys general, etc. I've never bought into this great big conspiracy from Dominion or, you know, states colluding, because you don't have to. The Democrat Party, you know, it's like a club, you know, when you're a kid, if you're in this secret club, you know, the things you like, you don't have to say because it's what you like. You don't have people in the club that do not like the things that you don't, that, you know, in other words, if you like something and this dude over here doesn't like it, well, you don't invite him to the club. Conversely, if you hate something and this dude comes up and wants to be in your club and he loves it, you're not going to invite him. So, no, there wasn't some vast conspiracy or collusion, so to speak. They don't need that network. The first bill that was passed in 2019, when the Democrats won the House, it was, I think, HB1, and it was signed into law early May, maybe May 5th. It could have been the 15th, but I think it was May 5th of 2019. HB1 was a Voter Reform Act. And they talked about making it illegal to clean voter rolls, making it easier to access voting rights, i.e. mail ballots. You know, all the stuff that happened with COVID, all the changes in voting that happened as a result of COVID was in HB1. And I can't tell you the number of people I had this debate with that these Democrats and liberals and progressives and Marxists said, no, that was only because of COVID. No, you stupid MF-er. Now, I never say that in a debate, but it's in my mind. I'm thinking, no, you stupid MF-er. Go back. You got the Google, right? Go to the Google search bar and type in HB1 2019 and read. All of that shit was passed by the House of Representatives. It failed in the Senate, so it never got to Trump. That was May of 2019, was 9-10 months before the pandemic. So, nevertheless, if Trump's on the ballot, I honestly cannot see a way of him winning. Will he get the base? I can't even say that. Because this brings me to number three. Number one, I don't think he'll be the nominee. Number two, if he's the nominee, I think he'll lose. And here's number three. And this is a principle of mine. This is non-negotiable for me. For me personally. And I'm not advocating it. I'm not pushing it on any other individual. 2016, Trump went scorched earth on virtually every candidate. Everybody says, oh, Trump's a counterpuncher. Well, Dr. Ben Carson, he didn't punch Trump. Ted Cruz, he didn't punch Trump. Okay, Ted Cruz is a very shrewd politician. And it was amazing to watch that process of how he could get his message, his policy perspectives, his philosophies communicated without laying a finger on Donald Trump. Yet Donald Trump went scorched earth. When I say scorched earth, when you take Ted Cruz's father, who immigrated from Cuba after being in prison camps and tortured for years because of his stance on liberty and freedom, and he comes to this country, and one generation, his son, because of him immigrating to this country legally, has the ability to go to Harvard, to get an education, and become a United States senator, and run for president of the United States. And you accuse that man of being involved in the Kennedy assassination? You accuse that man, in essence, of being the dude on the grassy knoll? Because you can't hang in the arena of ideas, you can't hang toe-to-toe with Ted Cruz. So you're going to trash him. You're going to call his wife ugly. Ted Cruz never done anything to deserve that. Nothing. How can you call, whether, I don't give a shit if the chick would make a train take a fucking dirt road. How do you call another man's wife ugly? Excuse my language. Called his wife ugly. Called him a pussy. Had a plant, a woman plant at a rally. So Trump didn't have to be the one to say it first. Despite having good policy, in that regard, I'm talking about Trump, on immigration, at least good talking points. But he was running against Hillary. And I've known about Hillary since 91. I knew Hillary got kicked off the the Nixon investigation team. They kicked her ass off because she was wanting to fabricate information, stretch the truth, which is what happened in 2016. Steele dossier, Trump-Russia collusion delusion. That's the shit. That's the reason they kicked her off the Nixon investigation back in the early 70s. That same bullshit. So I voted for Trump. But I'm telling you, whoever hears this, and it may not be a living soul that ever hears this, if Donald Trump goes scorched earth on Ron DeSantis, especially if he attacks any member of DeSantis' family, I will go to the polls, and if Donald Trump is the nominee, he will not receive my vote. I have never done that. I have criticized people. I have slammed people for years and years that have done similar things because they didn't like either candidate. But they'll vote for judge or property appraiser or this or that. But hear me now. If Trump goes after DeSantis in a way similar or even further than he went with Ted Cruz, I will not vote for Donald Trump. I will leave the presidential race empty. I won't vote third party, and I certainly will not vote for a Democrat. And when I say if Trump is a nominee, he'll lose, not only does it take every single conservative, what they call the base, your base has to be just automatic. You've got to depend on the independents. But this is one member of the base that, so help me God, if Trump does to Ron DeSantis what he does to Ted Cruz and he ends up the nominee, by God, he will not get my vote. I hope he does. I hope and pray he doesn't. DeSantis, the reason that I title this Trump v. Biden or vice versa is because DeSantis hasn't entered the race. He should enter it this week. I think the fat ass Zeppelin, the New Jersey Zeppelin from, I think he's going to enter the race this week. Of course, speaking of fat ass Krispy Kreme Christie, for those of you, when I say Zeppelin, that's a blimp. It was a blimp. That was the original name. I don't know where it comes from, or the, what is that? The etymology of the word, but it was a Zeppelin. So in other words, the blimp from New Jersey, fat ass Krispy Kreme Christie. Asa Hutchinson is also in the race. Just nobodies, rhinos. Pompeo has decided not to enter the race. DeSantis will enter the race. And I would love for them to duke it out in the arena of ideas, but Donald Trump cannot do it. He is already attacking DeSantis from the left. When you say things like, you shouldn't retaliate against Disney. They're a corporation, they pay taxes, they're a private business. Basically, he's saying everything that the left has said about Ron DeSantis. When he says a 6-week abortion ban, in other words, if a woman gets pregnant and she's further along than 6 weeks, in the state of Florida, an abortion is illegal. And he says that's too harsh. So my question is, Mr. President, at what point is it okay to take a human life? You tell me, 6 weeks is too harsh. So at what point would you have killed your unborn child? Barron, Donald Jr., Tiffany, what's the other chicks? Ivana, whatever. And there one more, Eric, is it? Yeah, I think there was an Eric. So at what point had circumstances been different, would you have agreed to pull the plug and to end the life of that child? Okay? Put it in practical terms. But he's attacking from the left, which politically is in part why I say he will not be the nominee. Because in the primaries, you go either further to the right or further to the left. In the general, you move back toward the center. Remember the kook, dumbass, mealy mouth, Joe Biden, once he had gotten the nomination, all of a sudden now he's a uniter. I'm not a divider, I'm a uniter. I'll unite this country. But during the primaries, you didn't hear that bullshit. So that's what I mean. In the primaries, you go further left or further right to, again, what are we shoring up here, class? Yes, Susie, in the back of the class, your hand was first. Oh, you said you shore up the base because you have to have the base first. Good job, Susie. Perfect. You get a gold star today. So, by him attacking DeSantis already from the left, you're already alienating those on the right. You cannot win the nomination that way. However, CNN, as with the town hall, which Trump was excellent at, because they had an inferior host that was way outclassed. She was a lightweight compared to people like Cruz and DeSantis. People with conviction, with faith, with moral clarity, with principles. Because remember what I've always said. Those 49 senators that voted for that abortion bill, I could go into the Senate with not one shred of paperwork or notes, and I could debate each and every one of them. Because I'm not there to debate on talking points. It's conviction, it's principled. But when you lack the principles, when you lack the conviction, the faith, the discipline, well, then you have to figure out, how can I attack? But if you have those qualities, the conviction, the principles, the morality, if you have that, then you don't need to attack. All you need to do is state your beliefs. It's just adequately convey and communicate what's in your heart. That's the difference between a Cruz and a DeSantis and a Trump. Trump's comes from his brain. A conservative's a true rock-ribbed, dyed-in-the-wool conservative. It comes from the heart. So anyway, we are out of time. That's my 2 cents. And we will see in about a year and a half how that stacks up. But thank you for listening and playing along and joining on The Forgotten Conservative.